Let's kick today's episode off with a couple of trivia questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Among married couples in the U.S. with kindergarten age kids, what are the things they argue about the most, you think? I would guess in-laws, right? Infidelity's got to be there, maybe sex. What else? What do you think it would be?
Actually, it's none of those things.
What?
Actually, the top three things that couples fight about most, the couples who have young children, what they actually fight about most are, number one is chores and responsibilities.
Division of labor.
Mm-hmm. Number two is money.
Makes sense.
And number three is parenting.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. We've had our share of disagreements over parenting, right?
This has definitely been a huge conflict for Robert and I over the last 30 plus years
and still going. In the research, those three.
Chores, money, and parenting
were neck and neck. And this comes from a study, a review of an 8-year longitudinal study by the U.S. Department of Education, Center for Education Statistics. And they tracked over 19,000 kindergarten families. Now, these kids were from the full spectrum, right? With public school, private schools, full and part-time, diverse programs, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different racial and ethnic backgrounds, different areas of the city. This is across the U.S.
And so what that tells us is that the things we just talked about, chores, money, parenting, these are universal problems in relationships and universal perpetual problems in relationships, meaning couples continue to fight about these topics again and again and again. But today we're going to be zooming in specifically on parenting. Why parenting? Well, yesterday I actually spoke with an old friend whose 25-year marriage is ending. Ooh. And he shared with me that the biggest issue in his marriage was all the fighting that they had over the kids. And it was the mismanagement of this one issue that has torn their relationship apart and caused so much resentment and loss of respect between them that they are now deciding to call their relationship quits.
So they didn't manage their parenting styles.
They didn't. Oh. And this isn't just his story. It's actually a really common one. In fact, I would say almost every client that I'm currently working with and coaching right now, the ones at least that have kids, they're all grappling with this same perpetual parenting problem and looking for ways to be able to navigate their differences in parenting without these conflicts leading them to divorce.
So if you and your spouse are maybe fighting over parenting, much the same way Cheryl and I did, we disagreed many times about parenting, you're not alone. And so, as you know, we love the research here on this podcast, and that's why we're turning to the research from Dr. John Gottman and others so that we can unpack this issue and offer you some guidance on managing this very prevalent issue that comes up in every relationship.
Yes.
This is up next on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charlotte Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Welcome to another episode. So today we're talking about parenting and that story that I shared in the intro of my friend getting divorced. It kind of got me thinking, does divorce actually solve parenting disagreements?
Yeah. Is that going to be the end all and be all for them?
You might be wondering the same thing. Maybe the solution is to just get divorced and then we won't have parenting problems anymore. Maybe they'll just magically go away.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't think that's going to work. It's a good question. And let's go back to the research, and there's a surprising answer. In a 2020 meta-analysis in the Journal of Family, they looked at over 115 studies involving nearly 25,000 divorced families. And guess what they found? Conflicts between divorced parents, which often centered around parenting, usually persisted after divorce. In other words, parents with kids often continue to fight about the same stuff even after they divorce. So divorce isn't going to magically solve this parenting conflict that you have.
No.
Because you still have the kids that you're sharing between you.
Of course.
And you're still going to disagree about parenting.
Yep. And even worse, these ongoing problems related to parenting that go on after the divorce continue to harm the family and harm the kids. When parents continue to fight after they get divorced, the negative behaviors that existed before between the parents, of course, they continue, sometimes even get worse. So those behaviors, things like hostility or something called role diffusion, tends to creep in after divorce. Related to these parenting problems. So let's define what role diffusion is. Role diffusion is when kids get pulled into adult roles, like being a messenger or being the confidant for a parent, or even a spy between the divorced parents. And this is something that we talked a lot about on a recent episode that we did on triangulation.
I was going to say, this sounds very familiar.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's where this role diffusion, it's where kids get stuck in the middle, carrying maybe messages back and forth, like mom says, you're too strict. And these situations are really stressful for the children, and they can lead to a lot of anxiety, behavioral issues, and emotional insecurity.
Yeah, absolutely. So no, divorce doesn't typically end all parenting conflicts. So whether you're staying together or living apart, learning to manage parenting disagreements is crucial for raising healthy and secure children.
Yes. So why is it such a problem?
I don't know. Why is
parenting such a universal, perpetual problem for couples?
I think, you know, it's deeply tied to your core values. What I like to say is that all disagreements stem from a values mismatch. These values that we hold dear, near and dear about how I was parented or how I feel like I should raise my children can and do often clash, especially because they're deeply held and they're really part of who we are.
And then your partner's different and they have different values.
And I remember a story from one of your coaching couples where the client said, oh yeah, the way that we managed problems in my family was we would just yell at each other, take a break, and then we would just not address it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And while for some people that seems like, oh, that doesn't sound healthy at all, that was something that she felt was normal.
Right.
So imagine taking that in and sort of maybe extending that to your child in some fashion, like, oh, this is the way we deal with conflict.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And another big reason that parenting is such a perpetual problem is something called a meta emotion mismatch.
Oh, we love meta.
That's a mouthful, right? Meta emotion mismatch. And this is a term we've talked about on the show before. It's been a little while, so we're going to review it a bit, but it's a term that comes from Gottman's research. So meta emotion is how you feel about feelings. So it's whatever, what are your beliefs, your attitudes, your approaches to managing emotions? How do you manage emotions like sadness, anger, joy? And just like with values, as Robert just described, couples can be wildly different when it comes to what we feel about our feelings. I remember having one client who was like, I love anger. Anger is such a useful emotion. It's energizing. It motivates me. And another client that was like, oh my gosh, anger is so dangerous. It's violent. I hate it. I'll never let myself feel it. So we can come again from these vastly different backgrounds and have different beliefs about emotions in general and then how we manage them.
Yeah. You see this big time in parenting. One parent might say to a crying child, it's okay to be sad, honey. Let's talk about why you're upset in an attempt to soothe and then help the child process their emotions. The other parent, on the other hand, might say, stop crying. It's not a big deal. Also in an effort to help the child move through these negative emotions more quickly. Now, the intent on both sides
was positive.
Is positive. Both parents were attempting to help the child process emotions uniquely in the way that they were likely taught how to process emotions.
Yep. Based on their own experiences, what they thought was best.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's the bottom line. In Gottman's research, he found that when couples have a significant meta emotion mismatch, here's the key, it predicted divorce with 80% accuracy. So that's a really important thing to know. Why did this meta emotion mismatch predict divorces in the research? Because these differences about how we approach emotions tends to fuel other destructive behaviors. It tends to bring out things like the four horsemen, like criticism, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling. We, with meta emotion mismatches, we might get flooded more easily. And since the topic of parenting is so heated, right? It's all about our kids are on the line here, and parents can become very protective. So what do? We dig in. We want to be right. We want to push our perspective. We want our viewpoints to prevail, and we fight to get our spouse to yield to our way of doing things. So it gets, this topic of parenting gets really heated.
Yeah. I mean, these are some deeply held values.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really.
Very.
And that explains a lot of the conflict that we had about parenting, and to some extent still do have about parenting.
We do sometimes, because let's go back to that actually. Perpetual is not a bad word. Perpetual just means when you pick your partner, you pick the problems that you're going to have with that person for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Right.
Perpetual means that you're going to see it and revisit it over and over again. And in the research, even successful couples were having the perpetual problems 70% of the time. 70% of the things you guys fight about, you're going to fight about again and again and again.
So manage those things.
You manage them. You don't gridlock on them. You manage them and you learn to work through them, where you accept influence from each other, but they're never really solved fully.
Right. Well, and that's why they're perpetual.
That's why they're perpetual.
Absolutely. All right. Should we walk through a real life scenario?
Yeah. Let's give an example of, I don't know.
A real life scenario. So a mismatch in meta emotions.
Yes.
Right?
Around a parenting conflict.
Around, yeah, around a parenting conflict. So let's say the child runs into the room crying after a fight with a friend, right? Little Billy or little Sally comes running in. They're mad because something happened.
Okay.
Parent A hugs them and says, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. Let's talk about why you are feeling upset.
Okay.
In an attempt to help the child process their feelings.
Okay.
Okay.
And then let's say parent B instead says, you're fine. What's the big deal here? You're fine. Toughen up. Because their belief is that they need to help the child to move on and not sort of wallow in these negative feelings. And we need to help them to move on. And that's like real life. I'm going to help you move on. Of course, you're going to have fights with friends. Get over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's probably a little bit more the way I am at times.
So then what happens is that the parents start to turn on each other. Okay. Parent A might say, you know, why are you so heartless? What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Why are you coddling or something?
That might be what parent B comes back with, right? You're just coddling him. Why do you coddle him so much? He's never going to grow up and be a mature adult. And so then this argument might escalate into you statements and blaming and accusations and harsh words, maybe some eye rolling, a little contempt thrown in there.
Criticism, contempt.
And then one person ends up storming out of the room, flooded, overwhelmed, shut down.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's how a meta emotion mismatch can turn this little parenting moment into a full blown marital blowout.
And it shouldn't, right? We should be able to just see that for what it is.
A mismatch in how we view emotions. But we turn to these personal attacks, character attacks.
It's easy to do when your core values are challenged.
It kind of gets triggered.
Yeah, I think that's
triggered when our core values get challenged.
All right. We've seen how parenting conflicts are more than a universal issue. I think they're everywhere and they're within every relationship. And if they're not managed well, they can escalate into these destructive fights and even divorce. But also, as we discussed, divorce doesn't really stop these conflicts from happening. You get divorced, you're still going to continue to have these conflicts. It just shifts them. And then the kids get caught in the middle. They become the messenger or the spy. They're going back and forth.
Right. Right.
But there is hope here. We want to transition now and talk a little bit about the research from Dr. Nancy Eisenberg, which shows how aligning your parenting style is so important. And this, just the simple fact of aligning your parenting style, can actually boost your kids' emotional intelligence. And that's really what we want.
I think this is really an important point to make, because as you think about the work that we do in working with adults, the vast majority of the adults that we were working with really did not have great models for having emotional maturity growing up.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I had a client just today, actually, that I saw in person, and she is, I think, 48, 49 years old. She said, you know, I just never learned growing up what it means to have emotional maturity. I never learned how to work through a conflict. We would come into the room, we would scream and yell at each other. This was how we connected. And then we all went our separate ways and nobody ever apologized. Nobody ever repaired. And I never had a model of what emotional intelligence actually look like?
And to make it to 48 without learning a different model is challenging in your relationship.
It's really not until you're faced with divorce or losing relationships or your children that maybe sometimes you're pressured to like grow that muscle. Yeah. So this work that we're going to reference by Dr. Eisenberg, she's talking about like how we as parents getting ourselves on the same page actually can give our children a better chance at their future relationships because we're teaching them emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
So her research on emotional, she calls it emotional socialization, shows how we as the parents are influencing our children's emotional intelligence. And she, again, she calls it socialization because through our parenting and our example and our modeling, we are socializing our kids to be emotionally competent and therefore socially competent.
Dr. Eisenberg's research has some really good ideas and strategies for raising these emotionally smart kids, that how we as parents handle our kids' feelings, like these examples of sadness, anger, or joy, has a huge influence in building their emotional intelligence. So emotionally socializing them as well.
Yes. So she says that parents react to their kids' emotions in four different ways. Okay. So okay. We can call these different parenting styles, if you will. The first is supportive. The second is unsupportive. And the third is punitive. And the fourth is distressed. So we're going to describe these different parenting styles and how it results, what it results, what the outcomes are like for the children, depending on which style we are as a parent. So a supportive parent would say, it's okay, baby. Like, it's okay to be upset. Let's talk about it. And then they would guide their child to be able to understand their feelings and to process those feelings in a productive way. And so supportive parenting helps children to, again, understand, manage their emotions, helps them to become a little bit more emotionally intelligent.
Right. Unsupportive parents might say, stop crying. It's no big deal. This tends to push kids to maybe hide their emotions, which can also lead to a good amount of anxiety in children.
Yes. The third is punitive parents, and punitive parents get harsh. It's like, quit that. Quit acting like that. Quit doing that. You're going to be in trouble. And so this kind of puts the fear into children so that they fear feeling their feelings.
Right. And lastly, distressed parents, they sort of lose it as well. When kids get upset, they get all emotional and they fly off the handle. And this leaves, as anyone might assume, a lot of confusion about how it is I'm supposed to either present my emotions or even handling my emotions. And for the children, they have no idea what's going on. They don't know whether they're supposed to be happy or sad or process or hide it. And oftentimes they usually just hide their emotions.
So I had a client who had a mom who was a distressed parent style. And whenever my client, when she was little, would feel emotions, her mom would just panic. She did not know what to do with it. And she would just say, go to your room and figure out what to do. Go to your room and figure out what to do with your emotions, instead of helping her through it.
Yeah.
And she became very walled off and in her relationships, and would tend to freeze a lot in her relationships when it came to conflict because she didn't know what to do with those emotions.
Yeah, she'd never practiced it.
Right.
Yeah, without a doubt. The biggest takeaway for me in Eisenberg research is the importance of getting on the same page with your spouse. When parents don't agree, for example, one is supportive and the other maybe is unsupportive or punitive, it's a mess for the children. They get confused. They have no idea whether or not their emotions are okay or not. And usually they're going to end up either over-emotioning or just repressing their emotions completely.
So this is a big takeaway from this episode, is the importance of getting on the same page with your parenting style as much as you can. And again, that doesn't mean you're never going to have a parenting conflict again, but it gives you a set of values to come back to and say, this is our code for when it comes to parenting. This is our operating system. This is what we're striving to be.
Right. Yeah. This is what we want.
But when there's this mismatch in parenting styles, it leads to confusion. It leads to anxiety because, again, these kids are unsure how to handle their feelings. The research shows that they're more likely to act out. They're more likely to have tantrums. They're more likely to be defiant. The mixed signals they get between mom and dad can be associated with them having their own emotional struggles, like withdrawing from their friends or even behavioral problems in school, like fighting. So it really does impact them. And I think the key takeaway through this research with Dr. Eisenberg was that the worst parenting style of all the parenting styles is actually the mismatch. when parents are not on the same page.
Yeah. And that's huge. So in a nutshell, there exists really good data for why parents need to come to the table and figure out how to parent as a united team for their kids and for the sake of their children's well-being.
And I'll add, for the sake of their future relationships, their future marriages.
Well.
So today we've unpacked why parenting conflicts are such a big deal and why they're universal and how they're tied to our deep values and how they're connected and can escalate through these meta-emotion mismatches. Sometimes even once we get divorced, because we're still parenting children together. And those disagreements do cause harm to children. They cause stress, they cause confusion, they cause behavioral issues. But Dr. Eisenberg's research shows us and gives us a lot of hope that if we can team up on the same, get on the same page and move toward a more supportive parenting style, that we can raise children that are resilient, that are emotionally intelligent, that are emotionally smart and socially capable.
Which probably leaves you as the listener wondering, how do we actually get on the same page? Like, how do we align these core values? Well, we were going to cover that on today's episode, but we thought we'd do it more justice if we did an entire episode just on solutions only. So that's coming up in part two next week, where we'll do a deep dive into practical steps using Gottman's Dreams Within Conflict method to align your parenting and keep your family going strong.
Great. But in the meantime, here's some homework for you, because we always have some homework every week. This homework is going to really prepare you for next week's episode when we talk about the solutions. So I want you to grab a notebook and piece of paper, pen,
open your notes app,
and answer these questions. So the first question is, what is your parenting dream?
What did you hope? Hopes and dreams.
Yeah. What do you hope to do and to have and to give your children? And what is important to you? Here's probably the most important part of that of question number one. What is important to you in the context of parenting?
I love that.
List out everything that you can think that's important to you in the context of parenting.
Second, this is an introspective one. Write about how your parents handled your emotions growing up. Did they comfort you, or did they push you to toughen up? And then how does that shape the way that you feel about your children's emotions now?
Great question. And the third question you could journal about this week is, when you and your partner do fight about parenting, what losing strategy do you tend to turn to? Do you criticize? Do you get defensive? Do you just shut down? Do you go numb? Do you retaliate, or maybe resentfully accommodate? What do you do? What's your fighting style? What's your favorite flavor of fighting? There you go. The triple F.
Yeah. I'm surprised I got that out.
I'm surprised too.
Yeah.
Didn't come out of something else.
Okay. Well, so we want you to spend 5 to 10 minutes reflecting and maybe share these with your partner if it's appropriate. These questions will help you get ready for part two's episode on solutions in parenting mismatches, specifically meta-emotion mismatches.
Well, thanks for spending time with us today, you guys. If you found today's episode helpful, we would love it if you would leave us a quick 5-star review and comment. It really helps us to reach couples who could use this guidance. And if you do know someone who could benefit from today's message, please share it with them. Remember, be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. It's the small things done often that make the greatest impact.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.